Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Knoxville doctor who writes in his spare time has just published his first novel. Let's help him celebrate and go in-depth with Mike Vanetta, author of Leo's Birds. So, Mike, congratulations, your book's out.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. Man, it's exciting.
Leo's Birds.
Yes, sir. Leo's Birds. Been on the in the works for a long time.
Years, huh?
I think I started it in 1998. I had to get something to take to the Iowa Writers' Workshop Summer Writers' Festival. I had nothing. So I just conceived of this character based on a patient of mine, and he kind of took it from there, and off it went. And I finished it up, and it just sat on the shelf for quite a while I was writing other things. And the opportunity came up to enter the Write Plays contest, and somebody told me about that. I didn't actually see that, and I sent it in, and fortunately it won, and now it's in physical form.
Now, tell us a little bit about the story, Leo's Birds.
Well, the story is really about Maria Sanchez-Klein, who's a physician, based on the story of Dr. Stan Nerimore, the true story of this physician who went to this small Kansas town from residency in Brooklyn, where he was a Puerto Rican national. He did develop a really good patient following up in Kansas, but unfortunately he liked to drive his Lincoln Town Car around the place very fast. He liked to go to city council meetings and push his weight around. He liked to go to school boards and push his weight around. So he kind of ran afoul of the local people. And he had a couple of bad outcome patients, as all practices will have. And the people in power in this small little town decided this was the opportunity to take advantage of it. And next thing you know, he's arrested for first-degree murder. And in the true story of Stan Nerimore, he went to prison for a couple of years, got convicted by this sort of kangaroo court in Kansas, and went to prison. He did get out on appeal, and he now practices in Ohio. But my character, I thought it was, first of all, fascinating that this could happen to physicians who were trying to help their patients. But I based my character, I made her a female from Puerto Rico in same type of town. And she comes into practice, and there are other reasons why the people in the town want her to sort of go away. But she runs into the same position, finds herself sitting, waiting for a jury to come back, and she knows convict her. And she finds a way to escape from jail and take off across the fields of Kansas, fleeing the law as a fugitive. And what happens to her thereafter? She meets interesting characters along the way, one of which is Leo. And Leo, again, based on a character of a patient that I knew who had injured himself at work. He was a roofer. Actually, he was a builder framer. And he got injured and couldn't work anymore and started becoming paranoid. And Leo is kind of that character. And the other things that are in the novel are sort of based on real-life events that I've run into. Of course, that's what writers do. We see things that are interesting. We say, oh, I'm going to tuck that away for some book somewhere. And that sort of got into Leo's Birds and been part of the story. The novel is about what happens when people at a young age find themselves faced with the decision, either deciding themselves that they have to go it alone because of lack of parent support, or the parents die, or whatever, or deciding to go it alone because they are rebelling, or whatever, and what happens to those people who sort of lose their authority figures. It's also a story, I think, of people who are kind of lost in the world. Things have been taken from them by circumstance, and they've lost their bearings, they've lost their anchors in the world, and how they go about discovering who they are and re-identifying with themselves, if you will. So those two themes kind of play through the whole book. It's not really a novel about birds.
More in depth after this. continued my conversation with Mike Vanetta, author of Leo's Birds. Okay, this is a physician that goes running across the Kansas fields?
Yes. Uh-huh.
What does she do then? I mean, that's an odd career move for a physician. But I guess the alternative was jail?
The alternative was certain conviction and possibly even death. Kansas has a death penalty, so that was looming over her head. And, you know, she knew that she was not guilty, and she knew that the jury was coming back, and she knew that what the jury's verdict was going to be, and so she decides there's just no alternative. She didn't really come up with the idea herself. Turns out that some cleaning lady in the jail said, okay, I think you've been slurred here. I think you've been done an injustice, so I can find a way to help you out of this. And so she takes the opportunity, and off she goes. And, of course, that's the question that faces her. What now? What do I do now? Here I am in the middle of Kansas in a field sleeping in animal depressions, and here, you know, I'm never going to practice medicine again. I've left my family. I have no idea what's going to happen there. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. And I'm on the run from the law. So, you know, in a way, I didn't ever think about the old television series and movie, The Fugitive. But in a way, it's a little bit like that. We have a person who's innocent who just really has no way to prove their innocence. Ultimately, of course, those things might change in the future and down in the book as you read further. But it's not really about, you know, like all things, the endings of things are, it's usually about the road to the end. And so the travel that she goes on and the kind of adventures that occur to her and the travails that occur to her along the way, including meeting Leo and some of the other characters in the book, really is where the story is. So.
And so did you imagine yourself laying out in some field and what you would do? If, you know, in such a situation you had to have.
Well, when I first thought of that idea, when I first wrote that, it, like what usually happens when you write, your first draft is not very good, so you do have to kind of go through this envisioning and feeling what it must feel like to do that kind of creative visualization, if you will. I didn't actually go out in the field, although I've certainly been in fields. I know what fields are like, and I've driven across Kansas and know what that is like. I've spent some time in Kansas City specifically to research the book. But, you know, if you're laying in the field, especially as a female, you would have certain perceptions and certain views of the tastefulness or lack thereof when laying in the field. And, you know, are there insects around? And what does the wheat feel like around you, and how does it sound? And those kinds of things have to come to you somehow. And although authors will research, and research is very important, there's a lot of the stuff that comes because of your own experience and your own memory.
Well, and this is, I mean, imagine the lonely feeling that she has being in jail and then going into a wheat field, which is lonely in addition. That must have been really depressing.
Depressing and desperate. Desperate. There were a couple times where a suicide occurred to my character, but she's strong enough and, because of her upbringing in Puerto Rico, had a sense that, you know, when injustice does occur to a person, that you don't just give in, but you fight against that, and you stand for what you believe in. And that's what held her instead as she walked across this field in Kansas and kept the police at arm's length away.
And the characters, how did you set them up? Were they people that you, well, you said at least one of them was somebody that you knew, but you have to set up some kind of an opposition. You have to set up helpmates. You have to have people help her on her journey, people that get in her way.
Mm-hmm.
And so where do those people all come from?
There's kind of this looming dark force in the novel, and that is the police are after her. So she's always on the run. And she really has a difficult time trying to figure out what to do. And ultimately, she decides to reinvent herself and become a different person. I did hear about, early in the novel's progress, hear about a woman who lived in Ottumwa, Iowa, who was arrested by the police after escaping from jail, 15 years before. She was in a federal penitentiary in Colorado for some reason. She escaped from that jail and was on the run for 15 years, most of that time spent living in Ottumwa within a few blocks of her family. And she had changed her appearance and changed her identity, but was nonetheless participating in her family's activities, going to sporting events, going to plays that her children were in. So she was vicariously living her life, even though her husband had remarried, vicariously living her life there, right next to her family. And I thought that was an interesting idea, and I thought, well, that might be what my character does. I don't know. So that kind of helped the play, helped it move along. Leo is faced with his own internal demons, and complicated by the fact that he's an orphan. His family was killed in a plane crash when he was young, and then there was a big, huge murder where he lived with his uncle and aunt killing his uncle killing his aunt, and Leo's faced with all these internal demons, and has a lot of trouble dealing with those things. Our hero of the story is really neither of those. It's just it's a person that Maria meets along the way. And also there's another area in there where Maria picks up an identity of a nanny. There's the second book of the three books of the novel. Maria becomes a nanny for a while. And we don't really see Maria very much there. We see more of the family that she is a nanny for. But we get a chance to see how Maria responds to the kind of things that are happening to this really fabulously famous man that she's a nanny for. And that was a kind of an interesting point of view work that seems to work pretty well in the novel. One of the problems with writing novels is that oftentimes the middle part of a novel lags. It just sort of falls apart. So you read this really wonderful entry into the story, and the author always knows what the climax is at the end there, and so he works his way to it, and there gets this lag in the middle of a novel. And I think the second book with the second story of this really fabulously wealthy man with Maria there as a kind of a distant view of Maria works pretty well to hold the middle of the book up, and it ties in at the end, of course. Everything ties up. That's what you have to do.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Mike Vanetta, author of Leo's Birds.
And was some of that hard, tying up all the loose ends?
Well, I participate in the Marion County Writers' Workshop. We kind of, everybody gets together, a dozen or so of us, and we all get together. And we've done that for years, 10 years now. And I had tons of suggestions from those people. And there were times when I was struggling over where this was going to go. But once you hit upon the idea, the world just opens up. It just all of a sudden you've got all these places you can go, and it just becomes very easy to write at that point. And so I have to say that I had a lot of help with this, a lot of help.
So tell us about this mysterious wealthy fellow.
His name is G. Deaver, and he finds himself with a daughter from his first marriage. His wife had died in his first marriage, and he has this teenage daughter who's becoming a little wayward, having some trouble with drugs and doing kind of the things that teenage children are oftentimes doing. And so he has this child who's threatening to go her own way, to release herself from the authority of the family. And we see this person who's extremely privileged, and luck just seems to follow him everywhere he goes, having this trouble with this child. And of course, then our star of the novel, Maria, comes to be the nanny of that family. But he had a kind of a normal, average upbringing. His father was a meat locker guy. He took over the business in the meat locker business, and it made a difference in his life and how he pursued his world. But G. Deaver was a character whenever he turns around, something happens to him that seems to be wonderful luck. He has a golden tongue, and things just fall in his lap. The story of G. Deaver moves along from the time he is in high school all the way up until he's this rich, fabulous person who's married this rich, fabulous perfume magnate woman, and has this beautiful family, and everything is perfect for him. And you know, on one hand, you have Leo, who everything is terrible for, with all his terrible luck all his life, and we have G. Deaver, who's the fates have shined upon, and so it stands a pretty nice contrast there, and it works pretty well. And G has his problems, and G runs into issues that plague him that ultimately get resolved. But it just shows that not everyone, even people that are star-crossed, are going to have their issues and problems. And a lot of what's going on in the novel is just timing and circumstance. Things just happen. It's the fates, if you will, or sometimes you could say the hand of God acting. And it really begs the question, I think, do when accidents happen in people's lives, how do people deal with those accidents? And really, are they truly accidents, or do they play some important function in a person's life? And all through the novel, we're seeing evidence of how that question is answered by these people.
Okay, so how would you describe it? What genre? It sounds like it doesn't fit easily in one genre, does it?
No, and I don't write genre stuff. I write stories that interest me. And I probably wouldn't be any good writing crime novels. I wouldn't be any good writing mystery novels. So I guess you'd have to say this would fall into the literary genre. One of the differences I see between a genre novel like a crime story or a romance story and a literary novel is that crime stories are something you're going to read. You might really love the main character. You might, when you close the book, you might say, "Boy, I can't wait to see this main character in the next crime series of that book." But you really don't remember the book itself. You remember the character, and you want to maybe read the next book. You don't remember the books themselves are not very memorable. You get done with them, you say, "Great, I'm done. When's the next book coming?" Mm-hmm. Whereas a literary novel, the hope of mine is, and what usually does happen in literary novels is you read something and you enter into a world that you are so entrenched in the world and you're so engaged with the world that when you close the last page, you say to yourself, "I don't want to leave this. I like this." And you have that sense. And that's what this novel, it's what I'm shooting for. It's what I've been shooting for. And that's how I write. It's mostly character-driven. It's mostly the people in there that you sort of fall in love with, I hope.
And there's an event coming up.
Yes.
You're going to read and people can get your book.
Yes, yes, yes. It's called The Publication, which is great. And it's at the next chapter, October 25th at 5:30. And Nearwood Winery will be bringing wine and cheese as a little side event that we're going to have. And we'll kind of all get together and chat about things, have a nice little evening. I'll probably do a reading or two and answer any questions about the book, book signing. The Right Place will be there to say a word or two about how books are being published in this new way we publish books these days. And so I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great evening. And, you know, when a book's been sitting on the shelf for 10 years, when it finally gets there, it's like amazing to you. It's just really timing and circumstance again. The hand of God is happening here. So I'm really excited.
Thanks to Mike Vanetta for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.